You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, compellingly compassionate community comprised of compadres, comma, commuters, comma, and competitors. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 80, and I am your humble host, Karen, and we are your assembly of assorted, assertive, ass-like associates.
Hey.
I know.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Oh, what was that word for something that looks like a butt?
Natiform.
Yeah, natiform.
Well, it's been a little while since we've had a funky news headline, weird animals in the news, and this kind of covers them both. Did you guys happen to see the blobfish has been named the world's ugliest animal?
Oh, my God, by who? Yeah.
This was the results of an online poll conducted by the Ugly Animal Preservation Society.
Really?
Okay.
The mission of this organization is to promote awareness of endangered and not aesthetically pleasing animals.
Oh, absolutely.
I can most charitably describe the blobfish as it looks like the head of a grumpy old man made out of snot.
Yes.
Wow.
You know what?
Wow, that's really good.
I totally agree with that, and I think snot is a really important detail.
Because it's slimy.
It is slimy. Yeah. Complete. Everything looks a little bit like it was sculpted out of snot, maybe is a better way to.
But yeah. I love the fact that there's an Ugly Animal Preservation Society.
Some of the other animals in the top list are animals we've talked about, like the axolotl was in there.
What? The axolotl is the cutest animal. Yeah. That's my favorite animal. That's my spirit animal. How is that ugly?
Karen, your spirit.
It looks like a Pokemon.
I just report the news, Karen. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I did not know until a recent trivia round with you guys that the gooey duck, spelled Geoduck, yeah, is not a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought it was
the
a Pokemon.
The Geoduck? Yeah.
Yeah, apparently it's a duck. Real thing. Yeah.
It's a clam. A big clam with
giant.
A
big clam, little shell, right?
There you go.
It's a huge clam that wedges itself into a shell that's too small for its body.
You know what they say about big? Yeah,
no, clams. They live underwater.
It's weird.
In the sand.
Weird. Yeah. It makes me feel weird.
It is. No. Yes. Yeah.
When you look at a gooey duck,
it gives you weird, not entirely good feelings just looking at a picture of it. Yeah.
I wonder if I can be, like, I want to be part of the Ugly Animal Preservation Society.
I'm sure they would be happy to accept your efforts.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Cool.
All right. And a quick shout out to a special guy, Lack. He donated some money through PayPal for Good Job Brain, and I just want to give him a special shout out. And he talked about how much he likes podcasts in general, so I looked up some facts about podcasts themselves. What does podcast mean? Where does the word come from?
Well, it's a playoff of broadcast and iPod originally, right?
Correct. There is another explanation.
Oh.
Most people know it as a portmanteau of pod iPod. As an iPod and broadcast.
Yeah.
The other acceptable answer is personal on-demand broadcast.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds like a backronym.
It is. Yeah. It is. I think it's to dissociate with iPod.
To make it clear that it's something else.
Huh.
And do you guys know what is the most downloaded podcast in history?
Oh, like one single episode or?
All episodes of a show.
Oh. This is American Life?
Yeah.
Incorrect. Global in history.
Oh.
Worldwide, most downloaded. It's by a comedian.
Okay.
Ricky Gervais?
Yes.
Oh.
The Ricky Gervais Show.
Because he was on it early.
Mm-hmm. has a world record for most downloaded podcast in history. So there you go.
Thanks, Lack.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't anybody, it's okay. You don't have to randomly give us money.
No.
Yeah.
I just want to do something special.
But we do appreciate it when people do.
Nice.
Yeah.
keeps the doors open.
Yeah.
And this week's episode is number 80, which means it's an all quiz bonanza.
Woo!
Yeah.
What is 80 divided by 5?
I don't know.
16.
16? Is it, everybody's looking like, is it? It's 16.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yes, all quiz bonanza number 16.
Holy cow.
So every fifth episode, we have a all quiz episode where we don't really have a topic. We just all make quizzes ourselves and we quiz each other and you guys, listeners. So hopefully you guys enjoy all of these random quizzes. I have no idea what everybody else is doing, so this will be quite the surprise.
Yeah.
Before we start our all quiz, man, Colin, you got a lot of heat for your football rivalry segment a couple episodes ago.
I think it was good-natured heat, but
yes,
it
very
is
good-natured.
It is time for another installment.
Actually...
So we were discussing college football rivalries, and I had thrown out that Michigan and Notre Dame have played the oldest continuing rivalry of football schools.
Okay.
And I really should have clarified. So I'll make this as simple as possible. There are two divisions in college football. There's sort of the upper level division, and there's the lower level division. And I was talking about the upper level division, in which they play for the bowl championship games at the end of the year. And indeed, Michigan Notre Dame is the oldest game in the upper level division. However, you may have heard of two tiny little schools called Harvard and Yale.
Yeah.
They, in fact, have been playing rivalry games longer than anyone else, even though they are not in the top-level division of NCAA football. So Harvard and Yale have been playing since 1875. All the luck to them in their continued rivalry as we move forward. So if you get
all
that
the
question,
luck to both of them.
Both yes. of them.
Good luck to both
I
of
hope
you.
They both
May
tie.
The both
they
teams
tie
win.
Every year into perpetuity. So if you get that question in pub quiz, yeah. Listen for how it's qualified. If there's no qualifications at all, they may mean Harvard-Yale. If they say in the highest level division, it's Michigan-Notre Dame.
All right.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
So thank you to the listeners who wrote in.
Finally, we're getting in some quizzing. Time for our usual first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And when I say general, it is not general today because we have these special snack food trivia cards that I'm going to try out with some of you guys. So
from the game,
Eat It. Eat It. All right, these categories are themed. Let's start with Snack Attack. Introduced in the early 1990s, this snack is literally a giant fruit roll-up on paper.
Is
this... Fruit by the foot?
Correct!
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I remember they used to have video game cheat codes on the paper. And I would just, like, throw away all the candy and just get the paper.
Yeah, cheat codes.
Next category, cookies. What? Oh, the Brits will get this one. What high society Cars cookie is perfect if you are looking to fit in with the rich and famous?
Is it Brits? No. It's cookies.
Yeah.
Cars?
You're
I know the brand, Cars. I don't know. What is it?
Hobnobs.
Oh, okay.
I do not know those.
All right, next category, ice cream and desserts. During World War II, there was a shortage of flour for making ice cream cones. So instead, cones were made out of which of the following?
Asbestos.
Lead.
Talc.
All right, here's the list. Processed cardboard, crushed soy meal, or crushed popcorn.
Oh.
Chris again.
I'll go with crushed popcorn.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll go with that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Processed cardboard would be.
Yeah.
That does sound good. It's like a corn cake. All right, next category is candy. Spangler's Candy's lollipop does not have an intelligent name, but it has managed to be a favorite lollipop for decades. Dana.
Dum-dums.
All right, last question is in the chocolate category. In the movie Caddyshack, what type of candy bar was thrown into the pool during Caddy Day? Colin.
I believe that was a Baby Ruth.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good job, Brain.
Tony!
It's funny that they don't use that in their promotions, you know, as much. It's like,
no.
Baby Ruth looks like a turd.
Like a parrot.
You know what? I've read that in a lot of movie or TV special effects or prop department, they would use a melted candy bar for poop.
Oh, sure, yeah.
At baby showers. Have you played that game where you melt the mini chocolate bars in a diaper and you open it up and then people have to smell the... It looks like poop in the diaper and you try to figure out what candy bar it is? Yeah.
No, but now I want to have a baby just so we can play that game.
Yeah.
Well, it's Russian roulette because one round it is
teeth.
My goodness.
Sorry.
All right, all quiz. Who wants to go first?
I will go first.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Decisive.
It's rock and roll. All right, let's get our brains limbered up here with a quiz inspired directly by a quiz that Dana did many months ago. The quiz is called Japan or Not Japan?
Oh.
That is the question.
All right.
So I will read you a fact about a country, and you have to tell me if this fact is a fact mm-hmm. about Japan or not about Japan.
All right.
You can put your barnyard buzzers down because Colin and Dana and Karen are all going to be giving me a thumbs up if they think it's Japan and a thumbs down if they don't think it's Japan. You riding in your car right now, John Q listener, can do whatever you want.
If it's Japan, swerve into the car to the left. If it's not Japan, swerve into the car to the right of you. No, I'm an officer.
I play that game.
People on the fake radio told me to do this. All right, here we go. Question one, or statement one. What is generally thought of as the world's first novel was written here? Colin says yes. Dana says yes. Karen says no. Yes, The Tale of Genji is generally thought of as being the first novel ever.
Yeah. I was guessing India.
It's pretty big.
It's really?
Yeah, it's yeah. like phone book thick.
Yeah, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, it's not. Take that joke out, I guess.
These are the jokes, people.
These are the good ones. Factoid. The world's most expensive watermelon was purchased here.
I feel like this might be a Chris Kohler trick.
Oh, it might be a Chris Kohler trick question. Dana, yes. Colin, yes. Karen, no. Yes, it is Japan. Oh. Purchased for $6,800.
So what makes it worth that much money?
Well, they only grow a few of them. They only grow about 10,000 of these Densuke melons a year. And it's just, you know, it's perfectly round. It's a perfect example. It was sold early in a season. Yeah. Okay, how about this? The world's most expensive fish was purchased here. Everybody thinking. Colin says yes. Karen and Dana say no. Yes, it was. In fact, it was just in January 2013, a bluefin tuna sold at the Tsukiji Fish Market, the big sushi market in Japan, for a record $1.8 million.
Oh. Holy moly.
Yep. This country has an urban myth of fan death, which says that sleeping in a closed room with a fan blowing on your face will kill you.
Whoa.
Japan or not Japan? Dana says yes. Colin says
that
yes. Karen
weird.
Says
not Japan.
No. It is weird. It is not Japan. It is the country of South Korea, in which most table fans are actually sold with timers on them, so they will turn themselves off after a certain period of time to deal with
the death occur.
It doesn't.
How is it alleged
it's an urban
to
myth.
Occur?
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. The dish known as ramen was invented here. Karen says no. Dana says no. Colin says no. Ramen was invented in Japan by Chinese cooks in Japan.
Okay.
Now, the noodles came from China, but the dish, which is why I very specifically said the noodles in the broth with the stuff in it, was actually a Japanese invention.
Darn!
Crazy, right?
Got fooled.
Fireworks were invented here. Everybody says no. Everybody is right. Fireworks were invented in China. Yes.
Yeah, when in doubt, it was invented in China.
Yeah.
This country has the longest overall life expectancy in the whole world.
Oh.
Karen says yes. Dana says yes. Colin says yes.
I think this was true at one
point. I think, yeah. I'm gonna say yes.
It is still true. Okay. Yeah. Japan has the longest overall life expectancy, according to the World Health Organization. For overall, with everybody, it is tied with a couple other countries. For women, it is number one. This country is located on a peninsula. This country is located on a peninsula.
It's like a trick question.
Dana says yes. Colin says no. Karen says no. It is not.
What?
A peninsula is not an island. It is a stretch of land that stretches away from a continent.
Yeah.
I know what a peninsula is, and I know Japan is an island, but I was like, this is such a weird question. Maybe it's a trick question.
So Korea, for example, is on a peninsula. Japan is actually, you know what Japan is?
Archipelago.
Yes, an archipelago. Archipelago.
Oh, did I...
I think it's an archipelago.
Archipelago.
I believe it is.
Yeah. It's a collection of islands.
Grouping of islands, yes, indeed. And that is Japan or not Japan.
I just want to say I know what a peninsula is.
But Dana, do you see, like, when you're doing Belgium or not Belgium, you make a second guess things we think we know.
Yeah.
The president of Belgium.
I don't know.
Trick.
not Belgian.
Like, are Brussels sprouts from Belgium? And you're like, no. It's like Brussels.
Well, what? Yeah, but what if they were invented by, like, you know, Phil Brussels?
Chinese. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
From, like, from upstate New York.
I don't know what a peninsula is.
Just for the record.
For the record. I know Japan is
writing, you don't want people writing comments saying, hey, we should know what a peninsula
I think
was.
She should leave the podcast.
All right, my turn. And I have a name for my segment. It's called Taxorific. A lot of people know I love animals. And I think the naming of animals or living organisms is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like taxonomy. So usually in your taxonomy living organism name, you have the genus name and the species. So Homo sapien, Homo is the genus and sapien is the species. Do you guys know that there's so many living organisms in the world? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the names, the species names, are made dedicated to famous people.
Oh, sure.
But a lot of these are, there's like a weird, funny reason why they're naming these things. So I have a quiz. This is about organisms named after famous people.
Oh, great.
Okay.
And basically what I'm asking for is the famous person. All right, so let's start with this one. The name of this particular carabid beetle is a reference to a certain actor's physique because the males of this species look like they have big bulging biceps. Colin.
Is it Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes, it is the Agra Schwarzeneggeri. And his little biceps. It's very cute. All right, well, lots of carabid beetles are actually named after famous people. Another species of the carabid beetle was named after this actress because, quote, the existence of this species of elegant beetle is dependent upon the rainforest not undergoing an Armageddon.
I wish I could tell you what actress is in.
Is it Dana? Liv Tyler?
It is Liv Tyler. It's the Agra Liv.
Wow.
This one species of woolly lemur, native to western Madagascar, is named after what British funny man because of his fondness for lemurs, as shown in documentaries narrated by him and his movie Fierce Creatures?
Oh, is that John Cleese?
Yes! Oh. Monty Python John Cleese. He's done a lot of effort in protecting and preserving these lemurs.
Huh.
And it's called Avahi Cleesi, or also known as a Cleese's woolly lemur, which sounds weird. In 2011, a species of horsefly was named after what singer/actress because of its striking golden behind?
J-Lo.
Incorrect. Ah. 2011.
I was going to guess J-Lo.
J-Lo.
Too, yeah.
2011.
Golden behind?
Oh, Beyonce?
Yes, Beyonce. A horsefly with a striking golden behind is a Scaptia Beyonce. A German collector, Oscar Scheibel, was sold a specimen of a then undocumented species of weird blind cave beetles in 1933. And he dedicated the name of this beetle to which Chancellor of Germany?
Angela Merkel? That's the only Chancellor of Germany I think of. Was she the Chancellor of Germany? Is that Hitler?
What year was
this? What
year
was
this? 1933.
Oh,
it was Hitler.
Hitler. Yeah.
The Analphthalmus Hitleri.
We were all thinking like an honor, and honoring somebody.
Right. Well, it was.
And
you know, the Führer, he heard and learned about the dedication and wrote a thank you note. Wow. Be like, oh, thank you for naming this blind cave beetle after me, showing his gratitude.
All right.
And even though it might not be appropriate, it's taxonomic tradition not to change the name after it's set. So now it's always going to be called the Analphthalmus Hitleri. And it is poached by collectors who want,
they want a
Nazi
beetle
memorabilia or
Hitler beetle.
Yeah, the Hitler beetle.
Wow.
This extinct species of giant iguanian lizards from Myanmar is named appropriately after this rock star. Giant lizard. Chris.
Is it Gene Simmons?
No.
Is it Jim Morrison?
It is Jim Morrison, the lizard king. All right, a small soil-dwelling invertebrate has fang-like pinchers to grasp prey and crunch it into pieces before sucking out the juices. Appropriately is named after this famous author.
Oh, my. Oh.
Kafka? Uh-oh.
Incorrect.
Well, I'm always right for the wrong for the right reasons.
Bram Stoker?
Yeah.
Yes, oh. Bram Stoker. Oh, yeah. The Draculoidis Bram Stokeri
nice.
Is a troglobite. And, yep, has pinchers and crunches its prey and sucks out the juices.
That's delicious. Like.
Great and gruesome.
Yeah.
All right, last one. The species of this dinosaur is called Tanchisaurus nedegoapiferima. Is actually a giant portmanteau of the last names, including Neil, Dern, Goldblum, Attenborough, Peck, Ferrero, Richards, and Mazzello, who are all actors of what movie? Everybody!
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, somehow they squeezed in the names of the actors into dedicating the movie and also naming this dinosaur.
That is a mouthful.
Yeah. Nedegoapiferima. Very good job, guys.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope. Never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here, too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
I have a quiz for you guys. In trivia, sometimes I'm bringing this up. I'm like, oh, these questions are for dudes. Like, I don't know. So I wrote a quiz. It's about things that maybe ladies would know more about. Some dudes would know as well, but this is for the ladies, this quiz.
All right.
For the ladies.
It's about hair removal products.
Oh, man.
What brand of razor says it's a choice for every goddess? Colin.
Oh, wow, you guys are
that must be this. The Venus?
Yeah. Yes, the Venus razor. Yep. This hair removal product consists of honey, molasses, sugar, and lemon juice, and it was named... Karen, let me finish. It was named for the Minter's daughter. Karen.
I know this.
Nads!
Why don't I get to guess this?
Nads!
She beat you. Nads.
Wait, what? Wait, it was named for... What?
Nadine.
Like Nadine.
Her name was not Nads.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
But isn't it so funny that hair removal is called
Nads? It was
Nads.
Named for gonads.
The infomercial... They'd be like, oh, it's non-toxic because it's made out of basically sugar. So, like, sometimes in the infomercial, they'd lick it.
Yeah, they would eat it.
They would eat it and be like, oh, it's safe.
But it's not the one, it's not the stuff with hair in it, though, I think. It's the fresh.
Pulling it off someone's body and then just eating it.
Candy.
Like a newsy testing a quarter. The sweat gives it sort of a salted caramel.
Oh, it does. It would. What is the name of the electrical device that's used to remove hair by mechanically grasping multiple hairs simultaneously and pulling them out? Colin.
Is that the Epilady?
What's the generic name for that?
Oh.
That's a brand.
Oh, I don't know either.
It's,
like,
yeah, like
no,
the little coil thing, right?
Yeah. It's Epi something.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's an Epilator.
Ah.
Oh.
Epilator.
Uh-oh.
Epilator. That sounds like a... Like an evil Power Rangers.
It is. Okay. It hurts. It's like an evil device. It mechanically grasps multiple hairs simultaneously and pulls them out.
If you say it slowly and space all the words out so people don't think of all those words going together, mechanically grasps several hairs. Okay, well, that's not that bad.
That's better than one at a time.
And pulls them out. Pulls what out?
I forgot what was happening.
I've forgotten by the time I get to the end of the sentence.
The song Short Shorts was used by this hair removal company to advertise its product in the 70s. Colin.
That is Nair.
Yes.
Who wears short shorts? Colin wears short shorts.
Do you know who sang the song originally?
Oh, gosh.
Bananarama's the Venus one.
They are called the Royal Teens.
The Royal Teens.
Yeah.
That's a good one to file away.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to come
the
up
Royal
sometime.
Teens.
Royal Teen.
And the 40-year-old virgin, Steve Carell's character, gets his chest waxed. While he's getting it waxed, he yells out like a series of profanity and like gibberish. And he also screams out the name of a popular singer. Whose name does he scream out while his chest is getting waxed?
Does it start with an F?
No.
Oh man.
He does say a lot of F words.
This one's on TV all the time, too. Yeah. I've seen this scene. I can't remember.
Like, oh, Debbie Gibson.
Nope.
Pat Benatar.
No.
Oh, Whoopi Goldberg.
What was it?
Kelly Clarkson.
Of course.
Okay. That scene was real, I believe. They were going to fake it, but he just said, no, we'll just do it for real.
Yeah. They did it really for real.
Yeah.
And the blood is real.
Apparently they did not a very good job of it, apparently, because they actually, like, they hurt him. Yeah.
And Paul Rudd told him to say Kelly Clarkson. And so he did. Good job, you guys.
All right.
Things ladies think about a lot. And apparently all you guys do, too, as well.
I feel much smoother.
Silky smooth.
I've got a quiz for you guys called Angels and Demons. And this is a 100%
Dan Brown
free quiz.
Oh.
It is a grab bag of general trivia questions, but every question somehow will be tied into the theme of angels or demons or devils or heavenly things.
Okay.
So, here we go.
I got my buzzer ready.
In distilling and winemaking industries, what is the angel's share? Dana.
So there is a commercial on Hulu that plays all the time that talks about this.
Okay.
There's a part of the alcohol that evaporates and is lost forever.
That's right.
And the part that remains in the oak, that is the devil's cut.
That's actually a trademark term. But the angel share is a real long-known phenomenon in distilling and winemaking. And it's, as Dana says, it's the portion of alcohol
that
you lose to the atmosphere. That's right. The angels take
it. That's very beautiful.
Yeah. It's very poetic.
It's in the ceiling paint.
Yeah.
There is a common name is the angel's share fungus. And this fungus grows in alcohol-rich environments in the air. And so you'll commonly find this fungus growing on buildings near distilleries or winemaking facilities or bakeries
or anything. And it's feeding on the evaporated.
Yep.
That's cool.
It is really cool. Pound for pound, this animal has the strongest bite of any living creature. Now, adjusted pound for pound.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right, okay.
Karen.
Alligator.
Not the alligator.
Crocodile.
And keep in mind the theme of
angels
the quiz.
Yeah. Angelfish.
No, not the angelfish. Chris.
Devil dog.
You're close. It is the Tasmanian devil.
Oh,
okay.
Pound for pound, really? This blew me away. Pound for pound, they use a measure called the bite force quotient. It's the strength of the bite divided by the body mass.
Okay.
Oh. So Tasmanian devil tops the list with a BFQ of 181.
So he can put some holes in you, basically.
For comparison, like a lion is 112. And so again, this isn't the most strength total. They're only like, 20, 30 pounds.
Right.
But they can crush bones because they are scavengers.
Wow.
So they need this to bite through the
Bite force quotient?
Bite force quotient.
Oh, we should get our own BFQs done. So we can tell people what our bite force quotient is.
just in case they're wondering.
Put it on your business card.
Yeah. And don't mess with Tasmanian devils. They're bad news.
Wow.
Yeah.
This world record holding natural landmark was unknown to the outside world until it was spotted by American aviator Jimmy Angel in 1933. Oh. Karen.
Ayers Rock in Australia?
No, not Ayers Rock.
So record holding
record-holding natural landmark.
Natural landmark.
Only known to the outside world since the 30s.
Natural landmark.
I'll give you a little bit of a hint. It's named after the person who discovered it.
Oh.
Angel.
Angel Island.
It's not Angel Island.
It is Angel Falls, which is the highest waterfall in the world.
Oh, okay.
This is my favorite fact.
And the guy's name was Jimmy Falls.
Yeah, he was an aviator doing like a reconnaissance mission looking for ore in Venezuela, where Angel Falls was and still is. And he spotted it from the air and came back. And
basically Jimmy Angel.
Jimmy Angel. And I had always thought it was like,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, or like it's a religious honorific. But no, it was discovered by Jimmy Angel.
It's
Angel
like Falls. Sam German and German chocolate cake.
Yes.
Right.
In the Catholic Church, what is the more common name for the person who holds the title promoter of the faith? And this person has a very specific job in certain Catholic Church proceedings. Karen.
Archangel?
No.
Not a bad guess.
That is actually an angel.
That's an angel. Yeah. This is a real person.
Oh.
Dana.
Evangelist?
No. I'll give you the Latin term for it is the Advocatus Diaboli.
Oh.
Whoa.
Chris.
The Devil's Advocate.
Yes, this is the Devil's Advocate, which is a very real, very specific job within the Catholic Church.
Which is to what?
Be a jerk.
Oh, so I'm during so during things like canonization proceedings,
okay,
they will have two lawyers essentially.
One lawyer
is God's advocate.
Whoa.
One lawyer is the devil's advocate.
To basically say like why somebody shouldn't be canonized.
The job of the devil's advocate of the promoter of the faith is to play skeptic.
Wow.
And sort of, make it that it doesn't seem like just a rubber stamp for things like canonization. Yes. Isn't that really great?
That's cool.
That's so
And that is directly where we get the metaphorical meaning of devil's advocate.
But and that still exists.
Yeah.
And there is a dude who is the devil's advocate.
That is right. What major American city was originally named El Pueblo de Nuestra Señora La Reina de Los Ángeles del Río de Porciúncula? Dana.
What?
L.A.
It is L.A. Los Angeles. It's right there in the middle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, say it again. I dare you.
El Pueblo de Nuestra Señora La Reina de Los Ángeles del Río de Porciúncula.
Whoa.
Which translates in English to the town of Our Lady, the Queen of Angels of the Porciúncula River. So yes, many American cities, of course, were named in Spanish and named after angels or saints or things like that. For example, as you guys probably know, San Francisco, it means
Whale's
vagina.
I love you guys.
St. Francis.
Yes, St. Francisco.
San Diego is Whale's vagina.
Right. 3 of the 10 largest cities in the United States are also named after saints.
Oh, yes.
San something. Can you guys name them? And
wait,
I don't need you to give me
3 of the largest cities.
3 of the 10 largest cities by population. San Jose is one, yes.
San Diego?
San Diego is another one.
It's not San Francisco, is it?
It is not San Francisco.
San Antonio.
It is San Antonio.
Oh, yeah.
Well done. All right. We'll close it out here with what I feel is a very appropriate good job brain question.
With poop?
The name of this common bread can be translated into English as devil's farts.
Whoa. Do farts.
Chris.
Pumpernickel?
Pumpernickel!
Hey.
No way.
Yes, pumpernickel in German comes from roots pumpern, which was a word meaning fart, essentially.
Wow.
And nickel is a form of Nicholas, a name which in German was often associated with goblins or demons or the devil. It's like old Nick, meaning the devil.
Huh.
So pumpernickel is devil's farts,
devil's
goblin's farts.
Nice.
And they say, they do say that part of the illusion is...
Sure doesn't taste like it.
to the gastric distress that eating too much pumpernickel.
Lots of fiber.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Good job, guys.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
Here's a quiz about famous airplanes. Maybe the names of specific airplanes.
Like a boy topic.
Yeah, well, we already had the famous ways to get hair off your body topic. yes, but maybe the names of specific airplanes or the names of types of airplanes or historical facts about airplanes. Just basically airplane quiz.
All right.
Yes. All right, here is a question. And the following is a patented Chris Kohler trick question.
All right.
This is a trick question.
Fleetwood Mac. Oh,
yes.
That in itself could be a trick, you guys.
I know,
right?
now you're
freaking out. Yeah. Okay. It's a trick question. Okay. What is, the answer, by the way, is not a movie. What is Air Force One? Who is that, Colin?
Mm-hmm.
Colin, what is Air Force One?
That's the airplane of the President of the United States.
That is not specifically what I need.
Oh, okay.
It is whatever the airplane the U.S. President is on is called Air Force One.
Yes. Whatever U.S. Air Force plane the President is on has the call sign. It's the call sign.
Right.
For the air traffic controllers. It is called Air Force One.
It travels with
the president. There is no plane called Air Force One. That's the important thing. All right, smarty pants. What's Air Force Two? What is Air Force Two, Colin?
Is that the same set of call signs that travels with the vice president?
I need you to be a little bit more specific about this.
How specific?
There's one very important thing about Air Force Two. It is any U.S. Air Force plane on which the vice president is traveling, just as long as...
Oh, as long as the president is not also there.
Yes, because that would make it Air Force One.
Got it.
Okay. Yes.
Got
it. Okay. What of the most famous and valuable stamps, U.S. stamps and stamp collecting, features a printing error with a plane that is upside down?
Yeah.
It's printed upside down on the stamp. What is the name of this plane? Colin.
I believe that's a Jenny.
It is a Jenny. Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's called the stamp is called an inverted Jenny and the plane is called a Jenny.
Is the stamp itself super rare?
The stamp is the rarest stamp.
How much do they go for?
They've gotten up to the $1 million area.
Wow.
Like a block of them, like I think two or four connected stamps that are still on a plate have sold for like multiple millions of dollars.
Wow.
Yeah. Very rare. Okay, here's a fun one that everybody can play together. When it is said that the Wright brothers built the first airplane, what exactly do we mean by that? What are the necessary components of an airplane? What was the Wright brothers' innovation? Like, what did they do first? There's four basically components that it has to have. And hint here, prior to the Wright brothers, people had like built gliders that looked like airplanes. That a guy could get into, and you could like throw it off a cliff, and it would glide to the ground.
It has to take off. It has to sustain flight.
Oh, I see.
Good.
And then it has to something else in there. I think the last one is land.
It had to cover a certain distance, right?
Mm-hmm. So land is important, but it's rolled into one other thing. So yes, it has to take off in the sense of it has to be powered. It has to get off the ground by itself,
right? Not thrown off a cliff.
Number two. It has to be sustained. You have to be able to maintain it as long as you still have power.
Steerable?
Yes.
Right?
That
was
the pilot has to be able to control it.
That's true.
Yes.
You just build a big flying machine
and that's what, like, and then,
I'm
and,
up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you can't do anything. You're just up there for a while. And then you know, landing is rolled into that. And the other one is there has to be a pilot inside of it.
Mm.
Like, rather than just being it's not like remotely
like
controlled or whatever. You're right, yeah, it's not a kite. Like, it's a piloted. So, the Wright brothers are properly credited, and if you go, you know, when you look up, like, what they did, they are properly credited as having built the first powered, controlled, sustained airplane.
Got it.
Yes. What major flight event happened in the Bell X-1 aircraft in 1947? Colin.
I believe that was the plane Chuck Yeager broke the speed of sound in.
Indeed, yes. That specific plane, he named it the Glamorous Glennis, after Glennis Yeager, his wife.
Aww.
First pilot to go faster than the speed of sound. Glennis. Another plane named after a woman. This was the plane that dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima. Dana.
Enola Gay?
The Enola Gay. It was named after the pilot's mother.
Sorry.
Finally, the world's largest passenger airliner currently. Is it a Boeing or an Airbus? Colin.
I think it's an Airbus.
It's the Airbus A380 is the current largest passenger airline. Tons.
Oh.
Like a buttload.
I have a lightning round style thing for you guys right now. It's on anti-heroes.
Ooh, anti-heroes.
From TV shows. I will tell you the character and the show they're on. You tell me what actor played them.
Oh, okay.
And these are well-known actors. So, for example, if I say Walter White on Breaking Bad is played by...
Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
He is an anti-hero. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the villain.
Like, they're not purely a good guy. Yeah. They do questionable things.
Yes. Maybe.
Yeah. How about... He played Al Bundy on Married with Children.
Oh, Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He played Norm Peterson on Cheers. Karen.
George Wendt.
Yes. He played Spike on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh.
Karen.
James Marsden?
Oh, you're so close.
Marstars.
I was going to use him with James Marsden.
He played George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Jason Alexander.
Yes. He played Earl J. Hickey on My Name is Earl. Karen.
Jason Lee.
Yes. He played Don Draper on Mad Men.
Chris. John Hamm.
Yes. She played Starbuck on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, man. What's her name?
Chris.
Katie Sackhoff. Man, wow.
He played Francis Underwood on House of Cards.
Karen. Kevin Spacey.
He played Nucky Thompson on Boardwalk Empire.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. He played J.R. Ewing on Dallas.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Larry Hagman.
Yes. She played Nancy Botwin on Weeds. Karen.
Mary Louise Parker.
Yes. He played Dexter on Dexter.
Michael C. Hall.
Yes. He played Vic Mackey on The Shield.
Oh.
Michael Chiklis.
Yes.
Oh.
Chiklis. He played Sawyer on Lost. Karen.
Oh, God. What's his name? No, pass.
It was James Holloway.
Yes.
Josh Holloway.
Josh Holloway.
Yes. He played House on House. Dr. House.
Hugh Laurie.
What'd you say?
I was like, not Jackman.
Not Hugh Jackman. Jazz.
Hugh.
He played Hawkeye on MASH.
Oh, Alan Alda.
Yes.
Oh.
He played Dr. Doug Ross on ER.
Oh.
Chris.
Only one, George Clooney.
Yeah. He played Jack Bauer on 24.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes. And last one, he played Tony Soprano on The Sopranos.
The one, the only, James Gandolfini.
Oh,
good job, you guys.
All right.
I'm impressed. You knew those actors.
All right, we got one last quiz. Colin,
yes.
Fire it up.
All right. I'm going to run through a brick wall to bring you this quiz.
Woo.
You're the Kool-Aid man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is a quiz about famous partners. We often know famous partnerships by their last names only.
So you're going to give us the first names?
So these are, all of them are two-name partnerships. So sometimes it's something and something. Sometimes it's a little hyphen in the middle. So I'm going to give you the first names.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And a little bit about what these partnerships are famous for.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys will give me either just the last names or their full names.
Real and fictional?
They are a mixture. There is one fictional one mixed in there.
Okay.
Us
on our toes.
Dirty the water a little.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. But,
dirty the water.
Pee in the pool.
That's my style. All right. I don't know if I can top that.
Here we go.
All right. Our first names are Richard and Oscar, and our famous stories cover ground from Switzerland to Siam. I believe Chris buzzed in
first. I actually did, yeah.
But Karen seems more excited.
Yeah, you
don't
go
give
for
me too many clues. Yeah. Rogers and Hammerstein.
Yes, yeah. Richard Rogers and Oscar Hammerstein II, of course.
Yes.
The creators of many musicals. Yeah, South Pacific, The King and I, Sound of Music, Oklahoma, and many others.
Mm-hmm.
Our first names are Francis and James, and we won the Nobel Prize in 1962 for our groundbreaking research. Karen.
Watson and Crick.
Yes.
Yeah!
Francis Crick and James D. Watson. Yes, for their,
DNA.
Of course, their work on the structure of DNA. Our first names are Bill and Dave, and we founded a Silicon Valley startup 75 years before anyone had even heard of Mark Zuckerberg. This company famously started in a one-car garage.
Hewlett-Packard.
Yes. Oh. William Hewlett and Dave Packard. Huh. That's right.
First name Hugh.
Yeah. And that one-car garage has been preserved and is fact. You can go check it out today.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Our first names are William and Elwin. And though we didn't actually work together, our names are forever associated by writers who want to play by the rules.
Oh!
Chris.
Strunk and White.
Whoa. It is. Yes, yes.
I thought it was the Blues Brothers.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's Elwood. Yeah. Elwood Blues.
Yes, William Strunk and E.B. or Elwin Brooks White, yep. who, of course, is also well-known as the author of Charlotte's Web. And,
what?
And
it's Stuart the same Little. Guy? Yeah.
It is the same White. That? Karen, I only learned this in the last couple
Charlotte's
months.
Charlotte's Web author is the White.
The White. Yes.
Strunk and White.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
He was good at writing.
Our first names are Christine and Mary Beth. And from 1981 to 1988, we were TV's premier female partnership. Dana.
Wait a minute. I'm thinking Kate and Allie.
Oh, not that good. No, these are last names, remember?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the year?
TV's premier.
From 1981 to 1988. They are considered the first female buddy cops.
Yeah, oh, what is it? It's... What's it called? Chag and Lacey.
Lacey. Oh, yeah.
Cagney and Lacey.
Yes. Lacey.
Turner and Hooch. What is it?
Yeah.
All right, last one. Here we go. And a little bit of bio history in this one. Our first names are William and James, and we were independently successful entrepreneurs before we met after marrying sisters. Our father-in-law encouraged us to join forces, so we combined our successful soap-making and candle-making businesses in 1837. Chris.
Procter & Gamble.
Yes.
Oh. I was like, Bath & Body.
I was like, yes.
go Bath.
And James Body. Yes.
Fortuitous.
Yes.
Amazing. All right. Good job, guys.
Hey.
All right, you guys. That's all for our all quiz number 16. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff. We did a lot. My head is very, very tired. I hope you guys had a good brain workout. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And join us on Twitter, @goodjobbrain, and Facebook/goodjobbrain. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.